I too greet you in Jesus' name this morning. I count it a privilege to be among brothers and sisters at Winchester. I feel like friends coming back to renew old friendships. God bless you. I appreciated your memory work. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And that is my prayer for you at Winchester, that God would give you all sufficiency, everything that you need, the grace. I think that's what I preached the last time I was here, on the grace of God. And you'll remember, grace is that divine enablement for whatever God would bring into your life. God is that type of a God. He can do it. There is nothing lacking from my God. God is able to make all grace, not just some, but all, that you can have everything that you need. And that just cheers my heart this morning. Brother Marlon prayed to the Almighty God, the God of the creator of the universe. That's the God that we're serving this morning. And that is what I want to preach about. I want to preach about God this morning. Such a basic, simple sermon. But I have started a little series on the I Ams in the book of John. And turn with me to the first one, or the one that I want to look at this morning, and that is just simply in John chapter 8. Not going to spend a lot of time here. We're going to branch out into other areas, but I would like to use this verse, John chapter 8, verses 58. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And he just stops there. Before Abraham was, I am. I always was. I will always continue to be. I am. Let's just back up just a little bit and get this, the basis for where this scripture is found. Jesus is having this discussion, and they're saying that Abraham is dead. Verse 52, now the Jews said unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets which are dead, whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is of my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you, but I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and thou hast seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took up they stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so they passed by. And so we go into today of Jesus still being the I am. I am. I contrast that to the way we say it today of I am, and I explain who I am. I am John. I am Sherwin. I am Vernon. God didn't have to try to explain who he was. He just simply said, I am, and he left it there. And so I've went to think about I am, and I just put the word God in there, because he's God. He doesn't need any other description. I am God. Genesis 35, verse 11, I'm just going to read you several verses that says, and he said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee. And kings shall come out of thy loins. And he spoke that to Jacob when he changed his name. And he was saying, there's going to be great things happening in your life, Jacob. Don't be afraid. I am God Almighty. I am the God of the universe. I am the one that is in control of everything. I am God. Genesis 46. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. Again spoken to Jacob. We could go to Isaiah. I have declared, I have saved, I have showed, and there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. And we can just keep going through scripture after scripture that says, I am God. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. How would you describe God this morning? There is no God like the God that we serve. The story has it of an old lady that was in an old tribe. And there was an earthquake, a really bad earthquake. The ground was shaking. The residents, the tribal people were running in fear. They were crying. This old lady sat outside just praising the Lord. And someone said, "Lady, what's wrong with you? I mean, what are you singing for?" And she said, "I'm just so glad that I can serve a God that's big enough to shake this earth. How big's your God?" There is no God like our God this morning, and that's what I want to cheer our hearts with, that thought that no matter what comes into our life, no matter how big the earthquake, there is none like our God. The psalmist talks a lot about God. "Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God." And for Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." In Psalm 46, I want to springboard off of that verse this morning. Be still and know that I am God. I am God. There's none like him. I want to use those thoughts. It was announced that there's some birthdays this week. I got a birthday girl at my house. And there's something so exciting about birthdays. Once you get older, there's not much to be excited about. But when you're younger, there's something so exciting about birthdays. It means another year older. Now I'm 6. And now I can go to school. When you're 15, a birthday means you're going to turn 16. And PA, that means driver's license. I guess down here it means something different. But that's exciting. You always look for that next age group. But there's something else about birthdays that are kind of exciting, especially as you're little, is gifts. Often a birthday will come with a gift. And there's something so exciting about seeing that gift sitting there and it's all wrapped up. And it's got that pretty bow on top. Ah, it's my birthday. I just can't wait. What's in my gift? Can I open it? Now tell me what's so exciting about that box. Is it the wrapping paper? Is it the bow? No, it's the contents that's inside that box. And so the first thing they do is you take that box, at least I do, and I shake it. You try to figure out what's inside the box. It could be a huge box, you know, it could be just a little watch. It could just trick you. So you want to know, does the size of the box, it's the contents inside that count. And I want to make a point here this morning, and so much of our lives are like that beautiful gift. And we were talking about tractors restored this morning. We like beautiful things. The more that tractor's restored, the more that old pickup's restored, the more beautiful it is. But you know what? It's not the beauty, it's only skin deep. That wrapping paper is only skin deep. And what I see of you this morning is only skin deep. But it's only what's inside that counts. And so you rip the paper off, you tear the bow off, and you dump out the contents of your box. And this morning, it's the contents of your heart is what counts when it's referring. When I think of my standing before an almighty God, what does God see in my heart? It's his perspective, not my perspective. And so I try, you know, God says, I am. And that just says it. I have to say, I am Vernon Shank. I am married. I have 5 children. I reside in the little town of New Franklin, Guilford Township. So, you know, Vernon Shank just isn't very much. 100 years from now, that's all you're going to read about me. My address, born, and died. Who's Vernon Shank? He's nothing but 3 lines of paper, 3 lines of print on a paper. But you try to talk about God this morning. Who is God? And this book can't contain all the definitions, all the description of who God is this morning. I am nothing compared to the God Almighty. You know, God is everything that I'm not. How would you describe yourself? You could say, well, I feel strong. Well, God's stronger. And God is just so much more than we are. God is just so much more. When I compare myself to God, I am just a sinner. I am just a dying man. I am so deceitful, so desperately wicked. I am lost. Do I see myself the way God sees me? God is everything that I'm not. And He doesn't need my achievements. I like to think my contents of my box is just pretty big. I like to think that when I dump out my contents, I got a pretty big pal. I am a pretty important person. Y'all really ought to know about me. But you know what? In God's eyes, I'm nothing. I'd like to turn to the verse in Isaiah 57. Talks about what God really wants from a person. Isaiah 57, verse 15. For thus saith the high and the lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and the holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. God's not looking for a big fancy box this morning. God just wants a contrite heart. Someone that has a very meek, lowly opinion of themselves. That's God. According to the scripture, God says, that's the person I want to dwell with. This wonderful, almighty God of the universe wants to come down and be a friend of ours. Only to those who are of a contrite and a humble spirit. And so how is my heart, how is my life this morning? Found this quote about humility. It says, God is drawn to humility like a magnet. You know how a magnet is? Just, you know, it gets close, boom, it sticks. And there's something about when I have humbleness in my life, God is drawn to me that way, and he'll stick close to me. What happens when someone gets in contact with God? Well, we could go to Isaiah 6, where Isaiah, we have that account where God says, who's going to go? And Isaiah fell down on his face, and he said, woe is me. And then he said, here am I, send me. I'm just such a stark comparison of this almighty God and who am I? Who am I in relationship to God? I believe this congregation has huge potential when we're all on our face saying, woe, woe is me. For I am undone. Who am I? We have huge potential when each member is saying, Lord, here I am, use me. I'd like to go back to Psalm 46 now and focus on what God means in this scripture. It's a very familiar psalm. Verse 10 is the verse that I want to stand out to you this morning. Be still and know that I am God. Life is not about me. Life is not about Sherwin. Life is not about Dean. Life is about God. Be still and stop and think about it this morning. Be still. When I think of that, I often think of my dad sitting in church. And you know, as a child, I'm squirming around and my dad reaches over and puts his hand on my leg and says, son, be still. But that's not what this verse means. When I was in church and my dad put his hand on my leg, I got still real fast because I knew he meant business. And I suppose God means business with us this morning because he's saying to his people, just stop what you're doing. Just stop and think about life. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. That word, be still in the Greek, means this: to slacken, to abate, to cease, to draw toward the evening, to let alone, to be still. I just like that word picture of back off the pressures of life. Just draw toward the evening when the day's work is done and you're just relaxing in your lazy boy. Be still means to draw toward the evening, to calm down, to relax, to slacken, to abate. When I think about to slacken, I would like to say be still and slacken the stresses of life. Just back off of those stresses of life. And believe me, life has a lot of stresses and life can just ratchet them up. But too much stress, too much tension, and things can snap, things can break. You think of a tow rope, pull and pull and pull, and finally, something's going to give. Either what's being pulled or the rope, something's going to snap. And this verse is saying, just back off that tension. Just slacken the tension. And I see God telling each one of us this morning, make deliberate choices to back off that tension and stop and consider that I am God. When I think about tension, there's lots of illustrations, but I thought about the piano that we have, because we had a piano tuner come out to tune our piano. And he was tuning them strings up, and they cranked the pressure up on them strings. And it takes tension to make them strings beautiful. So there's a certain element that we need some tension in our life. We need the tension to make us sing. But too much tension, and I've seen my piano tuner tune up a string too tight, and it snapped. And it makes a tremendous bang and whines, and it's broke. There's no way to fix it unless you go in there and put a new string in. Too much tension and we can snap. And so verse 10 is saying, back off the tension. We have so many opportunities of life and we make goals. Maybe you made some really high ideals for 2020. But God is saying, make some realistic goals. Back that tension down in your life that you can meet them goals. The deadlines. I don't know why I always tell people I can do so much. And that's tension, because it's Friday and I didn't get it done. And I have to preach on Sunday, and I'm studying on Saturday. And I said I was going to have them the quote, why did I do that? And that brings tension into my life that wasn't necessary. So back off of those self-made deadlines. But then there's the tensions that come into our life that God sees fit. Maybe it's the icy roads and you slide off the road and you wreck your car. Totally demolish it. That happens. Totally out of your control. Maybe it's health. We can't control our health. We just thank God for health to be here this morning. And sometimes God sees fit to bring the tension of health. Maybe it's the financial backsets. You put it in there, the tensions that God has seen fit to bring into your life. So to a child of God, I'd like to liken them tensions in your life that you're on one end and God is attached to the other end on that tow rope. And God knows just exactly how much tension to pull on you. See, if I got my tensions hooked to mankind, maybe my friends, my coworkers, they don't know. And they'll jerk me around and you'll yank me around and to the point where I'm going to finally hit the breaking point. But God never was. God says, I am God and I know you like no one else does. I know exactly how much rope, how much tension to give you. I'm going to stretch you out. I'm going to make you sing, but it's going to be praises to me. It's the invitation this morning to put our trust and confidence in an almighty God. Who else are you going to put your confidence in this morning? What other organization are you going to put your confidence in? They're all going to let you down. They're going to jerk you till you snap. But the Almighty God knows you, and he has promised that he'll never stress us out more than what we can bear. This isn't a sermon to say that life is going to be good. Life is going to be perfect. We could go to Psalm 46, and we are. Psalm 46, God is a refuge and a strength, a very present help in trouble. And I'd just like to make the point that God didn't say your life is trouble-free. He's the God to be there in times of trouble. And so the first point that I want to make is we need to expect tough times in our life. Times in life where we just see no way out. He says, therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Turbulent times, times when it looks like life is going to stop. But God is a refuge. God is always there. Life is so full of the unknowns. We don't know what the future is going to hold for us. 2 years ago, last Sunday, so let's say 2 years, 1 week ago, God seemed fit to take Carrie Martin home. That was Jaron Martin's little daughter. And at our church at Calvary, we went through that experience. And that was a really tough time. To watch a little girl suffer and suffer, and finally God took her home. God never said we won't face tough times. We don't know what our future holds, but we know who holds the future. Here about a few weeks ago, there was a 15-year-old boy that passed away in his sleep in our area. I think it was maybe the Shippensburg area. He was a healthy 15-year-old, a picture of life. I think he ended up with the flu maybe, was a little bit sick, and they were checking on him. And a few hours later, with no warning, he was gone. Does that mean God is not God? No. It means that God is still there. God is going to see us through no matter what. God is the God of this universe. He created us. Everything is in his control. Nothing happens without him allowing it, or at least of his knowledge about it. I'm sure you have heard about the young lady that has disappeared. Her name is Sasha. And we say, why, Lord? Why would such a thing happen? But God is still God. We cannot let them kind of things shake our faith. But we realize that God is our refuge and strength. There's a lot of things in this life that jerk people around. But I would rather have God a hold of my rope. I would rather have God holding my heartstring and knowing how much I can handle in my life. And that's the only way I can face life. This psalm was sung by the children of Israel as they were facing an impossible circumstance. An impossible circumstance. And I want to take you back to the story behind this psalm. The story in your scriptures where the children of Israel were standing there and saying, God, what are we going to do now? God, are you really there? And they came through victorious. I'd like to take you to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And I guess we cannot be 100% sure, but this is where this psalm fits in. And it's such a beautiful place. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And we're just going to read this. And then I'm going to insert numerous psalms in here where the children of Israel sang out praises to God. And I want you to think about what they were facing. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, it says, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them the other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea of this side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazen Tamar, which is in Engedi. The people are coming. The enemy is coming to fight them. A huge multitude of people. Let's say 250,000 footmen. I just put a figure in there. And here's this little army. And there's no chance of survival. And Jehoshaphat feared. How many times do our hearts just lock up in fear because of the impossible circumstance? And he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, O Lord, God of fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before the people of Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil come upon us, as the sword of judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from then and from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come cast us out of thy possessions, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt not thou judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And I just try to get the picture of that. The enemy is coming. There's fear in your heart. Jehoshaphat was the leader, and his heart was full of fear. And he was afraid. And he just sought the Lord, saying, Lord, you've done so much for us. Lord, you're the God of the Almighty, the God of the universe. What are we to do? God, you can't let us down. You have promised. And they gathered their little ones, and they had a church service. They came there. They stood before the Lord, and they waited. They were so helpless. Here we stand with our children, our families. Our eyes are looking to you. According to the chronological Bible, Psalm 83 gets put in here at this point. And it says stuff like this. For lo, thine enemies make me a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up thine head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against the hidden ones. They have said, come, and they were going to do all this thing. They were going to destroy them. O God, make them like a wheel, as the stubble before the wind, as the fire burneth a wood, and as the flame settleth the mountains of fire. So persecute them with thy tempest, and make them afraid with the storms. Fill their faces with shame. And here's the prayer that it would make sense. It seems chronological that this is where they prayed this prayer of, Lord, you're going to have to be strong on our behalf, because I can't and we can't. We have no power left of ourselves. And they stood with their eyes before the Lord. And then we have Jehaziel coming, and he says, hearken, ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Who is in control of this universe? So many times I think I have to have the answers. So many times I think I have to face life on my own. The battle is not yours, but it's God's. Tomorrow, go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. The Levites of the children of the Kohites and of the children of the Gahurites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high, and they sang songs. Now, how can you sing when the enemy is surrounded? They didn't fight this battle yet. The victory was yet to be won, and they're singing. And they're praising the Lord. And that is where Psalm 46 was inserted. Let's go back to Psalm 46. Does not verse 10 make more sense? To be still and stand back and watch God work. The pressure is up. I'm about to be killed. And God says, stand still. And verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. This psalm was sung. This was a song of praise. And if you look at your, right under Psalm 46, it says, to the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a song upon Alamoth. Alamoth means it was a song sung by the soprano. I don't think the men were singing this song. It was sung by ladies. And to think about the beauty of the soprano voice as they blended their voices together. There's a note here in my Bible. It says it could have been sung by virgins from a temple choir. And so I'd like you ladies to sing a song. And I would just like to stop and to think about what this might be like. To be facing a tremendous battle and to be saying, be still. Take your books and turn to song number 907. This song is wrote directly from Psalm 46. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Think about that God Almighty that's on your side, facing your battles. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. They didn't know what life was going to bring to them. They had the battle yet to fight. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, he's faithful. He faithful will remain. Be still, my soul. Be still. Allow the pressures of life to recede. And think about what God has done for you. I'm going to blow the pitch. I'm going to start it. And I'd like you ladies to sing this song for us. Mm-hmm. Be still, my soul. Thank you. A beautiful song. Be still, my soul. Take a deep breath. Relax. Allow the tensions of life to lessen and see God. Know that God is there. Be still, my soul, and know that I am God. Take your families with you. I have to think about the children of Israel. They stood there. It said their wives and their children. And they were there seeking the face of God. Allow God to show himself work mightily on your behalf. It doesn't take the pressure away. It doesn't take the trials away. But realizing that God is in control does a lot for me. It gives me the confidence. And that's why we can say that God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, and though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, and he cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the in the earth. I'm sorry. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Just a few points here in closing. That God never promised that our life was going to be stress-free. This says there's going to be all kinds of things facing us this week, facing us this month, facing us this year. We don't know. But God is still God. He's been God in the past. He's been the God throughout all of ages. And he is still God of your heart today, if you allow him. He is a true shelter for our fears and our weakness. And there is so much political stress. Right now, you don't know. We don't follow political, but I guess we do. And there's just so many things happening right now. And that could bring unrest. There's so much things happening worldwide. As you read verse 2, verse 3, it talks about traumatic things happening. When you think about mountains being destroyed, and it drives people crazy to do crazy things to find security in this life. They don't have God. All they have is themselves. And so they're scared. They're scared of war. They're scared. And so they stockpile guns and ammo. They dig holes and put bunkers because they're going to try to hide out. But I'm telling you, my God is the best security you can ever find. He's the God that'll see you through when everybody else's bunkers cease to exist. You can go online and you can find bunkers, concrete bunkers. $57,000 will get you a little 20 by 20 two-room concrete shelter. If you spend $120,000, you can put a full kitchen. It can have a generator. It can have everything you want. But what is a bunker without God? My God is the shelter, a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not I fear. Even though it seems that things come against me at times, and my heart is troubled, and I begin to shake, I just want you to think about that God is still there. And God is holding the heartstrings of his people. And he knows exactly what you can face. Be still and know that I am God. Let us kneel for a word of prayer.